So this afternoon we're going to demonstrate some of the concepts that we covered in the morning about mobile IP using an example to show how mobile IP works. So let's set up the example. Here's our network, simple internet, similar to the one we had on the slide. Of course, it doesn't have to be similar structure. It's just easy example to illustrate what's going on. Let's explain what it is first. We have four IP subnets with network addresses given. I've just made up some example network addresses. 10.10.6.0 for this subnet. 72.16.3.0 here. 4.4.4.0.42.1.3.0 in this IP subnet. So these are four access networks that we will use. And they're connected together via routers to form our internet. So in fact, we don't need this. We need the board. And there are multiple routers. I've labelled some of them, R1, 2, 3, 4. And the ones, let's say, internal here is our core network. And we have some more routers in there connecting them all together. A, B, C, and D there. We're going to have a correspondent node in IP subnet. Let's draw that. So that's a host here, and we'll call that our correspondent node. That is the node that our mobile node is going to communicate with. Let's just assume it's some person sitting there at a PC, and that we're going to have a video or voice conversation, bidirectional communications. And let's give it an IP address. 42, since it's on this subnet, 42.1.3, just some number, 5, for example. And we're going to start with our mobile node over on this subnet. I'll draw it in a moment. We want to see some more details. Actually, we can draw it now. Here's our mobile node. It's going to move in our example to the second subnet. And it's got a home IP address because it's on the home network is 10.10.6.0. Then let's give it an IP address, 10.10.6.101, which is what my laptop had this morning from the SIT wireless network. The exact IP addresses and network addresses I use have no meaning. I've just chosen random values just to show that they're different. I'm using a 24-bit subnet mask such that the last dotted decimal number is always the host portion, just to make it easy for the example. So we always know that the first three dotted decimal numbers identify the network, the last dotted decimal number identifies the host within that IP subnet. And the others would have IP addresses as well, and we'll introduce them as we need. With mobile IP, we care about mobility between IP subnets. Mobility within an IP subnet, we'll assume, is handled by our Layer 2 wireless technology. If this is using 802.11 wireless LAN, changing between access points inside SIT, inside this subnet, is dealt with by the wireless LAN network. It's not the role of mobile IP to deal with mobility inside here. It's to deal with mobility from this subnet to another subnet. But just to be more specific in the example, let's assume this subnet is using wireless LAN and draw it in a little bit more detail. If I drew, here we have R1. And let's draw the exact network topology. I've drawn it as a cloud there, but let's say it's a router, and that connected to that is some switch, an Ethernet switch, And connected to that are two access points. Access point one, access point two. And our computer, our laptop, is here, is that 10.10.6.101. And of course, we would expect it to use wireless LAN to communicate with the access point and then communicate over this switched Ethernet network to the router. So this is an example of what could be inside this cloud. With IP, Internet Protocol, and mobile IP as an extension, we normally don't care about the details of inside here. Just any technology gets data from here to the router, whether it's wireless LAN, Ethernet, a GPRS network, some SDH network, it doesn't matter from IP's perspective. But of course there is some technology used there. Let's say it is wireless LAN and it looks like this. And just to see what happens with the detail, we also have R2 here. There's some connection between R1 and R2. And let's say R2 is also using wireless LAN. Or the subnet here, if I drew it in detail, would look like what I'm about to draw here. And that is just add another switch. And attached to that is some access points. I'll just draw one. Call it AP3. It's a 3. So we're dealing with mobility, and let's say we have our laptop that's going to move, and what will happen is it's currently in coverage of this access point, and that is, it's currently attached to this IP subnet. It's going to move, until it wants to connect to this IP subnet. But let's look at the details of what happens and how that may happen. Remember when you did your assignment, you were measuring in the coverage test the signal strength identified by the client. That is, you measured the signal strength of multiple nearby access points. Well, that's this situation. There are multiple access points. Here's our client. It's receiving packets from access points, say beacons. These access points are broadcasting beacons. This one receives them. Say they're all on the same channel. From those beacons, it can determine the signal strength and determine which access point is possibly closest. That is giving us the stronger signal. If we make the assumption, stronger signal means closer we are. That's normally the case. The further we are away, the weaker the signal. Therefore, if the beacons have strong signal strength, we can make an assumption our access point is close. We could use such a mechanism to work out when to change access points. I'm currently connected or associated with this access point. Let's assume we're associated with access point 2. My laptop is moving. As we move away from this access point and closer to this access point, the signal strength coming from AP2 is going to get weaker and the signal strength coming from AP3 is going to get stronger. So if your laptop has some intelligent software there that measures the signal strength from multiple access points and then makes some decision, okay, my current access point is getting too weak. It's going below some threshold. Therefore, I should seek out an alternative to associate with. And since it's recognized that access point 3 is delivering a stronger signal, it makes sense to, at some stage, as we get closer to this, to disconnect from here and associate with AP3. That's a handover between wireless LAN access points. That's not to do with mobile IP, but we'll see the relationship in a moment. So as we move, if we have at some point, I don't know where it is, but at some point, let's assume that your laptop recognizes this one's too weak. Therefore, let's associated with AP3. Now, the algorithm for making that decision can differ by different wireless cards, by different access, different clients, different operating systems. But there's some mechanism that says, let's now change access points to use the stronger one. Of course, it knew that there was another access point because, as we said, it periodically broadcasts beacons. All three are sending out beacons all the time, let's say 10 per second. And when you hear one, you know that an access point exists. So what happens? If we try to illustrate the process, here's our mobile node, which is our 10.10.6.101 MN mobile node. Then if we draw also our access point, AP3, we were associated with AP2. Okay, we're at this point in time associated with AP2. We're still associated. We're moving. We get to a point where our computer says AP2 is too weak. I know that AP3 is nearby. That now let's associate with AP3. So at some point it's received a beacon from AP3, and many beacons before that potentially, and then at some point here, depending on the strength of the signals, it makes a decision to, let's say, to hand over, or a wireless LAN handover, to hand over from one access point to another. And when it makes that decision, let's say at this point, assuming it already knows about the access point, it can just initiate the association. Going back to our wireless LAN lectures, the procedure was send an authenticate request. If everything's okay, get an authenticate reply saying you're authenticated to access this wireless LAN. Send an association request. This is just what we covered in the wireless LAN lectures, and a reply. If you can't read that, that's authentication request, authentication reply, association request, association reply. That's the normal steps to associate with an access point. So we've performed a handover from AP2, which I haven't shown, to AP3. At this point, we can say we're associated with AP3 and we can send data to that access point. We haven't dealt with the mobile IP aspect of it yet. So from this same network diagram, but without the details, we've got this mobile node moving. Because we associate an AP3 is on this subnet, what we've said with mobile IP, when we join a new IP subnet, we need to use mobile IP. Why? Because we need a new IP address. Because if we've got the IP address 10.10.6.101 and our correspondent node is sending us packets, those packets are being delivered to this subnet. If we move to here, that's no good, but the packets are going to go here. So we need a new IP address such that the packets will eventually be delivered to this subnet. If we simply change the IP address, then that may disrupt the application. So what we do with mobile IP, we get a new IP address called the care of address and tell our home agent here what that care of address, and that home agent will forward the packets. So this is router 1 is the home agent of our mobile node. Router R2 is a foreign agent. So we need now mobile IP to start to get a new IP address. So we're going to go through the steps. That is, the steps that occur for mobile IP are after we do this association. Your laptop, it's associated. Now, what's the first thing to do? The first step is to discover a foreign agent. We can think we've just joined this subnet, but we need to find a foreign agent to get a care of address. So the first part is the agent discovery. I will not draw any more details of the access point, even though all communications go via the access point. That is, when I send a packet, I send it to the access point, which sends it through the switch to the router. I'm not going to draw the access point of the switch. We'll simply draw the foreign agent. So at this point, the laptop says, okay, I've left my old network, my home network. I need to discover a foreign agent. And there are different ways to discover. Same as discovering a wireless LAN access point. You either solicit a foreign agent, or the foreign agent periodically sends advertisements, or a combination. As an example, if I know that I need to find a foreign agent, I can solicit that foreign agent. I send a special packet called a router solicitation. Router solicit. That is, I'm searching for a router that acts as a foreign agent. This is an IP packet, more specifically an ICMP packet. Let's draw it and give us some details. So it's an IP packet with an IP header and some data. And the data, in fact, is really just an ICMP, special ICMP packet, not a ping, another type of packet. Remember your ping request, ping reply, two different types. There are other types of ICMP packets. That's this one. These frames were not IP packets. They were wireless LAN frames. They didn't have IP addresses. They were specific frames just over the wireless LAN. Where is this solicitation sent? Well, let's look at the source and destination address. In the IP header, the source is the address of our mobile node. Now, because we're joining a new network, and what we're actually doing is trying to find an IP address, a care of address. There are two options. We either send using our home IP address, 10.10.6.1.0.1, or perhaps we could even send using that special address of all zeros, saying, I don't have an IP address. Let's specify any source. But since I have one already, 10.10.6.1.0.1, sent by the mobile node, this packet. Destination, it's not sent to the foreign agent, it's broadcast. That is, this mobile node broadcasts a router solicitation saying, I'm looking for a foreign agent. Looking at the detail, it would go to the access point. The access point would send it through the switch network, and if there are other computers attached to the switch, they would receive it. That is, it's a broadcast message. It will go to here. It would go to here. Only the device which is a foreign agent, only this router would respond. This computer, if it was a desktop, it would just ignore that packet. So it's a router solicitation. It's actually broadcast, so it's sent to many destinations. But if I've just shown the one destination here that's going to respond. And it responds with a router advertisement. And we understand a router advertisement as saying, as advertising, I am a router that's acting as a foreign agent. FA is R2. foreign agent. It's a router, but from the mobile node's perspective, it also acts as a foreign agent. And that's also an ICMP packet. If we draw it, has an IP header, and inside an ICMP. And all it does is says, I am a router, or I am a foreign agent. So source is the address of the foreign agent. Have we given it an address? No, let's give it an address. This router, this is the network 7216.3.1. Let's say it has 7216.3.0.3.1 as an example. So the source address is that of the router or foreign agent. And the destination is our 10.10.6.101. Now there's something strange here. The use of this address 10.10.6.101 does not match normal IP operation. Because what we expect in the internet is that on one IP subnet, if the router is sending to a host, the destination address should match a 7216.3 address. But this is a special case, and the router accepts that we have a mobile device who's visiting. Where are we? A mobile device, if we draw it here, our 10.10.6.101, because it's a special router solicitation router advertisement message, it accepts that the address is 10.10.6.101. In most networks, they are configured such that if a router receives a packet from a host with an address 10.10.6.101, and that router is on the network 7216.3.0, that router would drop that packet. That's a security mechanism. That stops you from setting the address of your laptop to be anything in the world and sending a packet. The router in SIT would receive that and recognize, okay, the source address does not match our network address, and therefore would discard it. So for security mechanisms, often routers will drop a packet that comes from a source that doesn't match the network. But for this special case, with these router advertisement and router solicitation, that's accepted. It's not dropped. So that's the process of discovering the IP address of the foreign agent. Simply ask for it by broadcasting a solicitation. If the foreign agent exists, it will respond. At this point, our mobile node knows about the foreign agent. That's performed agent discovery. Any questions so far? We're going to go through the whole step, but let's make sure we understand the intermediate steps as we go. Any questions? So I'm going to... Any questions? Not so hard. Of course, this message went via an access point and a switch, but I'm not going to draw that anymore. We're going to hide the details of the access point. That is, I'm going to remove this diagram. From the IP perspective, when we send an IP packet, it goes over this subnet using whatever technology is there and is received by the router. So let's hide. we discovered the foreign agent, we now need to register with that foreign agent. So to register, if we continue drawing this diagram, we have our mobile node. We'll have our foreign agent, and we'll see the registration involves a home agent. At some point, our correspondent node will come in as well. Correspondent node is just the other computer we want to communicate with. But until we register, we cannot communicate with a correspondent node. But we'll draw what happens at these four devices. What happens with the registration request? Who sends the registration request? There's your first exam question.
That's an example exam question. If you look in previous exams, you'll see a question which asks to draw this diagram illustrating how mobile IP registration works. Who sends the first registration request?
Sends it. Registration request sent by FA. Anyone want to help him out? Who wants to register? The mobile node needs to register. That is, what's happened so far, the mobile node was in its home network. In its home network, everything is normal. Just communicates. Packets have been coming from the correspondent node to the mobile node. And let's maybe go back to that. Just normal IP routing. Let's say we have a video application on our mobile node, a video call, video conference to the correspondent node. That is, they're sending packets to each other. When CN sends a packet, an IP packet, it looks like this. When CN sends an IP packet to the mobile node, it has an IP header, some data, the video content, and in the IP header we have a source address, which is the source of the IP address of the correspondent node, and a destination address, which is the IP address of our mobile node, 10.10.6.101. And when the mobile node was sending packets in response, it was the same except inverted. That is, the source is 10.10.6.101, the destination 42.135. That's the normal operation. These routers would have routing tables. The routing tables would be configured such that the IP datagram will be forwarded through our internet to the correct destination. If I drew the routing table, I don't know if I have room, the routing table of R4, then if the destination is 10.10.6.0, then the next router, so this is the routing table for R4, is C. It would in fact be the IP address of C. But I haven't specified that here. That's our normal routing. Similar, router C would have a routing table. Let's draw that here. We'll draw that in a bit more depth. Here's a routing table where we have the destination and the next node. So for router C, if we just look at the destinations of these four subnets, it was 10, 10, 160, what's the next address, or the next router, to be more general? Louder? B? That's easy. To reach 10.10.6.0, it's in this direction, to B. And if we have the others, to reach 42.1.3.0, it would be R4, or the IP address of R4. To reach 4.4.0, it would be D, and 72.16.3.0, it would be B. And each of the routers would have their own routing table, such that packets could be forwarded through the internet to reach the correct destination. And of course, the destination is a network address, not a host address. That's important. We don't have an entry for all hosts, just for the entire IP subnet, the entire network. So that's just the normal part of routing. They would exist, those routing tables would exist, created by routing protocols prior to all this happening. So, correspondent node is sending this IP packet. Destination 10.10.6.101. CN would also have a routing table. It'd be a very simple routing table saying send everything to R4, your default router. R4 would receive this. It would see the destination is 10.10.6.101, look up its routing table, sees, okay, to reach anyone on 10.10.6.0, send to C. Sends to C. C receives the packet. Destination 10.10.6.101, looks in here, okay, to reach 10.10.6.0, send to B. B would do the same, send to A, send to R1. R1 would receive this, destination 10.10.6.101, realizes, I am attached to 10.10.6.0, send direct to the destination, the mobile node. That's normal IP routing. Of course, our mobile node is here. So what we do in mobile IP, since we've discovered a foreign agent, we register a care of address via the foreign agent with our home agent. And that's what we're drawing, or about to draw. We send a registration request. Registration request. Saying, I want to register with this foreign agent, and I want you to inform my home agent of my new care of address. And there are some important parameters in this. This is a special type of IP packet. Let's draw it. Source and destination. Source is our home IP address, 10.10.6.1. We don't have a care of address yet, 10.10.6.101, sorry. The mobile node is sending that. Destination, foreign agent. Is that correct? Yes. Destination is the address that we discovered from the router advertisement. Remember, the router advertisement came back to the mobile node. The source was 72.16.3.1. That tells the mobile node the address of the foreign agent. This is the foreign agent address. And also included in this message, inside here, so this is our registration. Sorry, that's a G. Registration request. There's some data in there. Important data is that it includes, and I'll just write it here, the home agent address. And the home agent address that is the address of this device, this router. And the mobile node needs to know that. It needs to know the address of its own home agent. Did we give it an address? Well, let's simply call it 10.10.6.1. So that value would be included in the registration request. So the registration request has a home agent address. It has the home IP, which is in fact in the source address, 10.10.6.101. And it also has the foreign agent address. So this information is part of the registration request, saying, the mobile node is saying, my home IP address is 10.10.6.101. My home agent is 10.10.6.1. And this is going via the foreign agent 72.16.3.1, the foreign agent that we just discovered from the router advertisement. There's a mistake here. I call this the foreign agent. We'll see, in fact, it's labeled the care of address, COA. We know in mobile IP the concept is that our mobile node is going to get a care of address, an address that is valid for the new foreign network 72.16.3.0. We're visiting this network, we need an address, a care of address in under 72.16.3.0. What care of address? There are different options here. The options are to use the foreign agent's address as the care of address. And that's what I've shown here. We're going to follow the option that the care of address given to my mobile node is the same as the IP address of the foreign agent. This is a little bit strange, but we'll see how it works once we get a response back. The alternative is to get a unique care of address. That is, to get a different one, 72.16.3.2. But that would require some extra effort, and many practical implementations just use the care of address of the foreign agent. We'll see how it works in a moment. Let's just finish with the registration request. Registration request has our home agent, our home IP, and our care of address. Foreign agent receives it, checks everything's okay, and sends the registration request onto the home agent. We're going to assume that everyone's allowed to access this network. There's no security limitations that stop the mobile node from accessing the network. In real life, there need to be some security mechanisms to make sure that this person can access the network. Let's assume that works. So this is also the registration request. The same details inside. It's not going to the CN, it's going direct to the home agent. So just ignore the CN in this diagram. Home agent receives it. Home agent accepts this. It knows that the mobile node is left its home network and is now visiting a foreign network. And importantly, the home agent now stores information about this mobile node in its mobility binding table. Where can we draw that? It will be saved. Mobility binding table. It's some data stored about the mobile nodes that have left our home network. Since the home agent has received a registration request, it knows that MN 10.10.6.101 has left home. It is visiting a foreign network. So the home agent stores information about that mobile node in this data structure called a mobility binding table. So this is stored at the home agent. We store, well, the basic things that we need to store are the home IP address, 10.10.6.101, the care of address, which is, in this case, 72.16.3.1. We'd also include some lifetime. That is, this is valid for 2 minutes. After 2 minutes' time, it may delete this from the binding table. Sort of like a cache, just to keep track of what's happening. If nothing gets updated in 2 minutes, then assume that it's no longer present. But that's the main information. Home IP, foreign agent. Home IP, care of address. In our example, the care of address and the foreign agent address are the same, but they don't have to be. This is care of address. Home IP, CRA, care of address. Simply saying, or the home agent keeps track, this mobile node is at this care of address. We'll see how that's used shortly. Sends back a reply, like an acknowledgement. Registration, what do I write? Q, that's a G. Registration, reply. Nothing important in here, just saying everything's okay. Foreign agent receives it. It recognizes everything's okay. The foreign agent keeps its own data structure of the visitors. We need some space to draw it. I'm going to draw it here. We know this is 72.16.3, the visitors list. Simply a list of the nodes which are visiting our network. Home IP, 10.10.6.101. What else have we got? Home agent address, 10.10.6.1. A lifetime, most likely, and importantly, the MAC address, the hardware address of this laptop, this mobile device, whatever it is. Some MAC address of the device. Three pieces of data. The IP, the home IP address of our visiting node, the home agent of our visiting node, and the MAC address of our visiting node. And the last step in our registration is that reply is then forwarded to the mobile node. And at that point, the mobile node knows everything's okay and has its care of address and can start communicating, sending data again. Any questions so far? That was the registration procedure. Simply telling the foreign agent and the home agent that we've just moved into a foreign network. Okay. Visitors list, three items. Mobile nodes, home IP. Mobile nodes, home agent, IP address. Mobile nodes, MAC address. If the mobile node is my laptop, it's my laptop's MAC address here, whatever the value is. We'll see how it becomes important once we start delivering data. Any questions? Reply comes back. So, before we move on, we were attached to our old network. We were connected to our local SIT access point. We were moving. We recognized the signal was getting weak in SIT. The signal was getting stronger in this other network. At some point, we decided, let's change. We initiate a handover. And from the wireless LAN perspective, simply associate with a new access point. Once you're associated, then you need to discover a foreign agent. And in this example, we sent a router solicitation. That doesn't have to be the case. We could simply wait for a router advertisement. Same with wireless LAN. We can wait for beacons to come, or we can send a probe request. In mobile IP, we can wait for router advertisements to come or send a router solicitation and get one. Solicit an advertisement. Once we receive an advertisement, we know the IP address of our foreign agent. Once we know the foreign agent, we need to register, saying, who is my home agent? On the mobile node's behalf, the foreign agent tells the home agent about the mobility of the mobile node. That is, the mobile node has moved from its home network to a foreign network with this care of address. In this example, we set the care of address to be identical to the foreign agent's address. That's a subtle point. And we get a reply. At that point, we can send data using our care of address. Let's see how that works. I'm going to make some space here. Yep. We'll try and answer that question in this step. That is, all right, what we're going to go through now is how does the data send? This is just the registration procedure. But now I want to remember, what's happening is there's a video application running between CN and mobile node. We're in the middle of a video call. We're sending packets, talking with people, talking with each other, seeing each other's video. This needs to be happening very quickly. Because from the point when we left our old network to the point at which we receive our registration reply, we may not receive any packets. So now, once we've received our registration reply, we'll see how the data is delivered from CN to mobile node by again drawing the steps. MN, FA, CN, home agent. We'll start with the easiest case. Because we're sending packets in both directions, I'm talking, the other person's talking. When I'm talking on the mobile node, which is here, I'm sending packets to CN. Let's consider that case. That is, packets going in this direction. I create an IP packet as an IP header and some data, the video data, source address. What's our source address? I'm sending, so the mobile node is sending to the correspondent node. What's the source address? There's one attempt. Incorrect. So we're going this direction. Mobile node to CN, correspondent node, the person we're communicating with. In this case, the source address is our home IP address. 10.10.6.101. Destination? CN. 42.135. Just a normal IP packet, the same as when we were home. That's what's important here. From the application's point of view, our video application, it generates the IP packet or selects the destination address. It's exactly the same as when we were here. Nothing different. When we sent an IP packet from here, source was 10.10.6.101, destination 42.135. I've moved to here, nothing changes from the application's perspective. And that's our goal. Because if the application is aware of the mobility, that may disrupt the application. So this is the IP packet. Sent to our local router, okay, using the wireless LAN. The router recognizes this has come from a strange address. The router is on the network 72.16.3.0. It's come from a 10.10.6.1 address, a 10.10.6 address. But it recognizes because 10.10.6.101 is a visitor, that's okay. I expect to receive packets from this visiting node, because I've already allowed it to visit my network. Router looks in its routing table. Destination, 42.135. Routing table says, to reach this network, send to B. B looks in its routing table. To reach this network, send to C. C sends to R4. R4 delivers to the correspondent node. Without drawing all that, we can say that it goes from mobile node to foreign agent and then across the internet from foreign agent to CN, going via all those routers, which I haven't drawn. So that's easy. That's normal IP routing, in fact. To specify the true destination, the original home address, and let the routing tables go to work so the packet is forwarded over this path. So it went along this path, which is good. That's the path we'd expect or we'd like it to take. Packets are coming back as well, because we're talking, it's bidirectional. What happens? Correspondent node generates a packet. Let's draw it here. IP address, or IP header, data, source, it's coming from the correspondent node, 42.135, destination 10.10.6.101. Destination is the original home address, because from the application's point of view and from the correspondent node's point of view, it doesn't know about mobility. It doesn't care where the mobile node is physically. Mobile IP is designed so that that information is hidden from the correspondent node. It just assumes it's at 10.10.6.101. That means the application doesn't have to change. It doesn't have to deal with changes of IP addresses. We send this. Where does it go to? Let's look in detail here. It would go to the local router. Destination 10.10.6.101, look in the routing table. 10.10.6, send to C. Destination 10.10.6.101, look in our routing table. Send to B. B would look in its routing table. Where does B send? Hand up for R2. Hands up for C. We're sending a packet from CN. Here's the destination, 10.10.6.101. We're looking at how the routers process that packet. And in normal IP routing, you receive a packet, look at the destination, and find the next node that matches your routing table. I've drawn the routing tables for some, not all, but I think it should be obvious what path is the best path. CN sends to R4, R4 sends to C, C sends to B, B sends to... B sends to A. Destination is 10.10.6.101. These routers know nothing about what's happened out here. They just know that to reach 10.10.6, send to A. A, to reach 10.10.6, send to R1. This is when our home agent comes into effect. 10.10.6.1, R1, has received this packet. So in fact, it's a bit strange on this diagram, but it's gone in this direction. CN to home agent. So the direction on this diagram doesn't mean anything. It's just logical. 10.10.6.101. Home agent sees the destination is 10.10.6.101. Checks the mobility binding table. Ah, it realizes there's a mobile node with home IP 10.10.6.101, which is not home. It's away visiting a foreign network. That's what our mobility binding table tells us. It tells us that 10.10.6.101 can be reached via its care of address 72.16.3.1. So instead of trying to send it to a node here, because there is no mobile node here, from the mobility binding table, it knows to forward it to somewhere else. Yes, R1 is the home agent for this network. So yes, this is the data structure stored inside the home agent, or R1. Visitors list is in R2, the foreign agent. Now this is... So home agent receives that, realizes it needs to send to 72.16.3.1. How does it do that? It takes the original IP packet. This is the original IP packet here. It takes this one. Source 42.135. Destination 10.10.6.101. And it adds, I'll draw a different color. It adds another IP header. The home agent received this IP packet destined to 10.10.6.101. But the home agent realizes, mobile node's not home, it's visiting another network. I need to forward this packet to another network. The way to forward this entire packet to another network is to put it inside another IP packet. This is called tunneling. Tunneling is the concept of putting one IP packet inside another IP packet, or putting a packet of one protocol type into the same protocol type packet. One IP inside an IP. So from the black one's perspective, the black IP packet, IP header, data. From the blue original packets, IP header, data, all of that blue one is inside the black one as data. And we have a source address, it's just a normal IP header, and a destination. What are their values? who is sending this black IP packet? R2, home agent. So the home agent sending, so therefore, yes, the source, 10, 10, 6, 1. Destination, who is it going to? .72.16.3.1. The care of address of the mobile node. How did it know to send to there? For the mobility binding table. It knows that this mobile node has a care of address 72.16.3.1. Therefore, sets the destination to that care of address. So now we have this black IP packet, destination 72.16.3.1. Normal IP routing takes effect now. It comes from here. It would go to router A. Router A would look in the routing table. Destination 72.16.3. Sender B. B receives it. Destination 72.16.3.0 is the network. The routing table should be configured to send to R2 because this is the network 72.16.3. R2 receives it, which is the foreign agent. So this black packet did not go to the correspondent node, went from the home agent to the foreign agent. Because the foreign agent has the address 72.16.3.1, which is also the care of of our mobile node. That's a special condition. Let's see how it's dealt with now. Foreign agent receives it. Foreign agent is the destination. So this is how tunneling works. If we have an IP packet received at destination, foreign agent is 72.16.3.1, then it simply removes the outer header and deals with the internal packet. If this black packet, remove the outer header, and what we're left with is this internal blue packet with source address of 42.135, destination 10.10.6.101. So this is the concept of a tunnel. We have the original packet. We send it in a tunnel from here to here. This is the tunnel. These are tunnel endpoints. As this packet was put inside another packet, sent to here, and then the original packet is obtained. Now, our foreign agent looks at this. Destination, 10.10.6.101. This router, or this network, is 72.16.3. Strange address, but checks the visitors list, realizes there is a mobile node with address 10.10.6.101 visiting my network. I know its MAC address. If I know its MAC address, I can send via the LAN, wireless LAN, whatever technology, and deliver directly to 10.10.6.101. Send that via the wireless LAN, for example, we just create a wireless LAN frame, set the destination MAC address to be the 100F5C2, so on. And it sends across our LAN, wireless LAN, to the mobile node. Mobile node receives this IP packet. Source address is 42.135, destination 10.10.6.101. From the mobile node's perspective, and especially the application here, when it sends a packet, it uses its home IP and the IP of the correspondent node as destination. When it receives a packet, the destination is its home IP, source is the correspondent node. Same with the correspondent node. The source and destination address never changes. No matter where the mobile node is, whether it's home, visiting this network, visiting this network or anywhere in the world, from the application's perspective, the mobile node and the correspondent node are communicating with this pair of addresses. And that's our goal. Because if we have to change addresses, it often means stopping an application and restarting. And that's bad for many applications. And we've finished. We've delivered the data from our correspondent node to our mobile node when the mobile node was visiting a foreign network. And that illustrates the main concepts of mobile IP. There are some additional things, but that's, I think, if you can understand all of that, then you're doing well. If you cannot, then you'll raise your hand. Any problems? So remember, tunneling is this process of putting one IP packet inside another. So send the black IP packet, the outer one, across the internet to the correct destination, and then deliver the inner one to the final destination. Okay? Good. Okay? You look in last 2 years' exams, and there's questions on this. Is draw the registration procedure. One question was about fill out the mobility binding table, fill out the visitors list given a particular scenario, or explain or to draw the packet, that is to know when tunneling is used. When I say draw the packet, draw to the level of detail that I've given here. Identify the source and destination address on the outer and the inner packet. Note that this it was sent by home agent. It was sent to router A. Router A doesn't know or doesn't care that it's a tunneled packet. Router A just sees the outer header and uses its routing table to forward. It doesn't care what's inside. And that's the normal process of a router. Just look at the header. Send it on. Don't care about the data. Of course, my mobile node is moving. It moves to another foreign agent, another foreign network. Similar procedure. Discover the foreign agent here. Register. The registration when I join this subnet would tell my home agent that my care of address is now 444 whatever, 4441 for example. So if I move into another foreign network, I would just need to go through the same procedure. Registration, update the mobility binding table, reply, and this foreign agent would update its visitors list. Sometimes we could tell the old foreign agent that we've left, so it deletes it from the visitors list. But if we do not tell it that we've left, there's usually a lifetime here such that this data would expire. So it would assume you leave unless you tell it otherwise. But that's other than that, it's the same procedure as registration. And that's it, I think. And that's all we're going to go through today. So if you have any questions, then come up and see me. And next week, our last lecture before the midterm, we'll finish some of the topics on mobility. And hopefully that will just take the morning, and then we'll have some discussion of the exams.